Okay, let's try recording this again, this time with the monitor speakers turned off so that there's not a bunch of feedback in the recording. We worked an event a couple of nights ago, and the people there, I don't even know who set up the audio, but the people there didn't know anything about audio, and the MC, who was inexperienced and inarticulate and female, kept walking in front of the speakers and with the microphone and creating feedback problems. And so I had to explain to Yoga Pants Girl how feedback works and how when you have a microphone, you don't walk in front of the speakers because it feeds back into the system. So she didn't know this, which is good for her to know as she goes forth in the future. Oh my god, it was a disaster. Like, all night long. Just screech, screech of audio feedback. It's like, stop walking in front of the speaker, you stupid bent. Alright. This is the first time I've talked, and I haven't gone outside all day long. It's Sunday, it was chilly, it was supposed to rain. I never saw any actual rain come down. It's like 50-50 chance of rain. Tomorrow is 100% chance of rain because it's monsoon season here in the People's Republic of Fort Collins. So I have not interacted with other humans all day long, which has been nice because I've needed some downtime after the excessive amount of interaction with other humans I've been doing at all the jobs and everything. God, I finally we've gotten through the big hump at the third job. Umbrella Corporation is peaceful for the moment, though I'm sure they'll be calling me at any minute with some fucking urgent needs. And Weyland-Yutani is slowing down for a couple of weeks. Whew, so I can get my breath, I can prepare for the move, I can take care of some business, I can do some podcasting, catch up on some podcasting, listen to a shit ton of Dick Show today. Listen to some of Frank Serby's podcast. I listened to episodes 2, 3, and 4. Just didn't listen to episode 1 yet. Which I'll get around to because I subscribed to his RSS feed and it only downloaded the first episode. I don't know why. So I had to listen to episodes 2, 3, and 4 via the SoundCloud page. So anyhow, there's that. I gotta balance this audio on this. I need to make a note on this. I'm tweaking audio on my podcast so it sounds better, because it needs to be done. Anyhow, until then...
Oh, I had a lot to say. Was making funny content every day. Then the terms of service, they all changed. 'Cause everyone outside is calling me alright. And uploads every time get demonetized. I'm sorry I'm white, I'm sorry I'm male, I'm sorry I make money while others fail. And I think that you are smoking crack. I've got lots of fans who love what I do, and I know that fact's problematic to you. So I just wanted to say I'm sorry. Oh, you think I'm to blame for all the problems in society. I think the blue hair you got indicates that you are drinking soy, and this is just a ploy. You wanna hide the truth to make me think like you. I'm sorry I'm white, I'm sorry I'm male, I'm sorry I make money while others fail, and I know can't pretend I'm black. I've got lots of fans who love what I do, and I know that fact's problematic to you. So I just wanted to say I'm sorry. Every video I think about the terms of service I've come to know. The fans subscribed in your blatant lies. It's never too late to make it right. Sorry. I'm sorry I'm white. I'm sorry I'm male. I'm sorry I make money while others fail. And I think that you are smoking crack. I've got lots of fans who love what I do, and I know that fact's problematic to you. So I just wanted to say I'm sorry. Patreon, I'm sorry. YouTube, yeah, I'm sorry. MasterCard, I'm sorry.
Yes, yes, I'm sorry. That was Sorry, Terms of Service from My Room Records. You'll find a link in the show notes to his SoundCloud account. Speaking of being sorry for being white and being male and making money while others fail, and I'm sorry I can't pretend I'm black. I'm sorry I cannot pretend that I am an in-demand author and consultant like Allison Lee Scher. All right, whew. It's The Millennial's Guide to Changing the World by in-demand author and consultant Allison Lee Scher, and I am the great one himself. I am the founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society. I've been podcasting for 14 years, 14 years, something, on the internet since 1999. I'm right. I've always been right. I'll always be right. I'll never be wrong. It's that simple, guys. You may say, oh, but great one, my feels. You can go fuck yourself. All right. Let's just pick up right here. Let's be sorry for being white, shall we? Explaining white fragility. I'm white, damn it. Don't shame me for it. Your problems are not of my making. I don't want to hear about them. You'll often hear words like these coming from the mouths of white people. Can you even imagine writing a book and just put anything, write anything? Like, you could write, I like fried chicken, or I had sex with my sister, or I try to cure AIDS by having sex with 8-year-old virgins, or I whine all the time, anything, just anything. And then follow that with the sentence, you'll often hear words like these coming from the mouths of black people. Try putting that sentence in a book. Even if you wrote, quote, excuse me, could you tell me which way to the bathroom, unquote, and then followed that with, you'll often hear words like these coming from the mouths of black people. How soon would it be before people showed up at your doorstep to burn down your house? How soon would it be before your videos were removed from YouTube for violating the terms of service? Well, of course, it's okay to slam on white people. After all, our countries all have electricity and roads and refrigeration and supermarkets and flush toilets and indoor plumbing. As a white woman, it took me a while to realize that I'm a member of the race every other race is measured against. Yes, because white people are superior. I didn't say it. You said it. Everyone else said it. As Allison Lee Scher, in-demand author and consultant, just said, white people are the race every other race is measured against. Now, when you're measuring some object, concept, idea, whatever, against another object, concept, idea, the standard you choose to measure it against is typically the superior standard, right? If you're going to talk about movies, you don't talk about how does a movie compare to Plan 9 from Outer Space. You don't talk about how does a movie compare to Captain Marvel. Right? You talk about how does this movie compare to Casablanca. How does this movie compare to Shane? How does this movie compare to Blade Runner? Right? How does this movie compare to The Matrix? Right? You compare movies to superior great movies. Whenever politicians are up there talking smack, right? Who do they try to compare themselves to? They try to compare themselves to great politicians. They'll sit there and say, Thomas Jefferson, or I'm just like George Washington. You even hear them now trying to compare themselves to Ronald Reagan. Do you hear anybody comparing themselves to and measuring themselves to Ulysses S. Grant, possibly the most worthless, corrupt president in history? No. So the reason that all the other races are measured against white people is, once again, because all of our countries have roads, refrigeration, supermarkets, electricity, indoor plumbing, flush toilets. We have hospitals, paramedics, airplanes, helicopters, construction equipment, skyscrapers, the internet. You're welcome. While not all white people are wealthy, while not all white people are wealthy, whiteness is inexorably linked to the possession and inheritance of property and power in this country. Yes, it's because white people invented the concept of private property, while the rest of you were scratching around in the mud. Some say that whiteness is somewhat devoid of its own culture other than its inherent privilege. There's not much that defines my whiteness except for the fact that I picked the winning lottery ticket that makes it easier for me to get a job, a boyfriend of any race, as if any man would want her. Here's this thing. It keeps coming up. Notice this keeps showing up. Some say. That's like, some say is a relative of they say. They say. When they say isn't available, you can call up on some say, and some say will give you an opinion. Some say, these people who don't have names, some say that whiteness is somewhat devoid of its own culture. So once again, there's this thing, white people have no culture. People of European descent have no culture. Americans have no culture. This attempt to destroy white people by isolating them from their culture and convincing them that other cultures should be adapted by them. Now, the great one has nothing against listening to some rap music upon occasion, right? We know this. Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, Too Short. It's like when I see the kids today, like Yoga Pants Girl. She listens to the shittiest music. And it's all black men singing into auto-tuners to electronic backgrounds. And they're all either singing about, oh, how much I love my woman. I love my woman. Love my woman because she's my world. Or they're singing, yo, I rape some hoes. I rape them hoes. I fuck him with my big dick. To the attempt to cut off white people of European descent from any connection with their history and their culture, their art, their music, historical accomplishments, the history of the nation states of Europe. Whiteness is somewhat devoid of its own culture. No, it's not, you stupid fucking whore. And you may say Alison Lee Scher does in fact write, there's not much that defines my whiteness. Okay, that's you. That's you personally. There's not much that defines you. Because you're a failure. You're a stupid little white girl who has never had to do anything to work in your life. You know, I've made no attempt to even like figure out to do the Clary test on this girl. To find out, like, basically, did she come from wealth? We know she's never had a real job. I don't know that. I'm assuming it. God, I should have researched this. Hold on, let me put this on my notes to do this. I should just pay Clary to do it. Actually, I always talk about, oh, I should pay Asshole Consulting to do that. I should pay Asshole Consulting to do that. So I should pay Clary to read one of Adam Pickett's posts in his fake Australian accent. I keep talking. Actually, I should. It'd save me some trouble. I have to think about that. Maybe I'll actually do it. Then I can just insert it in the podcast. All right. There's not much that defines my whiteness, except for the fact that I picked the winning lottery ticket. Okay, sweetie, you by winning lottery ticket, I think she means being white. Okay, sweetheart, I know you're not very smart. I know you don't understand science and biology, even though you liked I fucking like science on Facebook and you believe in global warming. Let me explain something to you. You don't get to pick your skin color. Okay? Like, before you're born, somebody doesn't come around and ask you what color you want to be when you're born. Just like, nobody asks you, hey, do you want the train to come by while you're recording? It just happens. It's the exact same thing with your skin color. You come out of your mom's cooch, and you've got the skin color you've got. You, sweetheart, did not pick the winning lottery ticket. There's not much that defines my whiteness except for the fact that I picked the winning lottery ticket that makes it easier for me to get a job. Not true, because you don't have a job. A boyfriend of any race. Not true, because I find it hard to believe you have a boyfriend. A house. And an education. No, actually, it's easier to get an education if you're not white because you can get in with lower scores and lower intelligence based on your affirmative action status. I was born, quote, the right, unquote, color, grew up with the right networks, and went to the right schools. My white life was so insulated that I had not taken the time to discover how non-white, lower-class citizens lived in this country. Yes, exactly. Your life was so insulated that you never experienced hardships. That's part of why you're doing this vast virtue signaling right now. That's part of why you have this white guilt, and it's part of why you want to drag other people down. You feel bad about having grown up being pampered and spoiled and protected. You feel bad about being a worthless piece of shit. Instead of doing something of value, contributing to the world around you, helping people, being productive, instead, you go out and you start entrepretending and you create this fake company called Millennials Incorporated and you write this stupid book and you virtue signal all over the place and you think this is atoning for having grown up a pampered, spoiled white girl in North America who never experienced any discomfort. This has nothing to do with you giving a shit about other people, much less non-white people. This is entirely about your ego, your need for emotional comfort, your need to feel good about yourself, your need for attention. This is 100% about you. I might not even have known that some people have it way differently. By her own admission, she grew up so spoiled, so pampered, she didn't know there were other people who had less stuff than her. Notice, if you haven't noticed this already, how she's setting herself up here. Remember the story of Buddha. If you don't know the story of Buddha, let me give you the very short version. So Buddha, as a child, he was born in India to a wealthy king, prince, whatever it was. And his father sought to protect Buddha from the world. So he kept Buddha within the confines of the castle. He never let him go outside the walls or even look over the walls and see the poverty and squalor that was out there. Much as Alison Lee Scher says, my life was so insulated. I didn't take time to discover how non-white lower class citizens lived. See, and then the Buddha, he looked over the walls and he saw us outside, and he snuck out of the palace one night in a cloak and he walked around. He saw for the first time the misery and the poverty and even just the normalness. He saw for the first time people not surrounded by wealth, with all sorts of servants bringing them stuff and endless amounts of food and endless amounts of entertainment. So he saw the real world for the first time. He saw that there were people who had less than him. And then that's he went on his quest to seek enlightenment, to figure things out. He did a bunch of stuff and ended up under the Bodhi tree. And then he had the moment of enlightenment and the Four Noble, blah, 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 blah. Okay. She's setting herself up, not as a Christ figure, but as a Buddha figure. She's saying, I might not have even known that some people have it way differently. She grew up so isolated and insulated and protected from the colored people out there, the lower class colored people, that she didn't even know they existed. Ah, but now, like the Buddha, she's gone out into the world and she's seen them, and now she understands. See, and now she's finding enlightenment, and she's going to teach you how to find enlightenment. It's via the path of white guilt. There's a term going around called white fragility. It describes how uppity, uncompassionate, and emotionally frail white people can get when someone from a different culture tries to have a conversation with us about race, in an effort to show us that we're blind to how good we have it, and the sentence goes on, and how often we use that blindness as an excuse to continue to assert our own superiority. See, when someone points out to you that white people have no culture, if you tell them, no, you stupid fucking cunt, white people do have culture, and our culture includes inventing electricity, refrigeration, flush toilets, indoor plumbing, computers, the internet, spaceflight, aircraft, automobiles, right? See, you're being uppity, uncompassionate, and emotionally frail. See, we're emotionally frail. Now remember, I can't say the word nigger, because black people will lose their minds. But see, they're not emotionally frail. No, of course not. But I'm emotionally frail. Because when I'm told that I have no culture and I'm a racist, well, I'm supposed to just, what, agree with that? If I tell you to fuck off and die, I'm being emotionally frail. blah, blah, blah. How some culture have a conversation with us. No, sweetie, we just don't want to have conversations about race. I don't want to have a conversation about race. There's nothing to fucking converse about. Last time I checked, Alice and Lee share, people of your ideology say there is no such thing as race. Why are you trying to have a conversation about something that, by your own admission, does not exist? Someone say, well, you don't want to have a conversation about race. You're uppity and uncompassionate and emotionally frail. No, sweetheart, I just have things to do. I have more important things to do than listen to colored people complaining about how they're discriminated against. Especially in a country filled with affirmative action. Blah, 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 to show us that we're blind to how good we have it. No, we're not blind to how good we have it. We're perfectly aware. Well, the white men are perfectly aware. You, as a white woman, have no self-awareness. You have no idea how good you have it. Because the prime directive is that no white woman from North America must ever experience discomfort. White men who work for a living, we are perfectly aware of how good we have it. Because we've earned this. We do this thing called working. We do this thing called paying taxes. We do this thing called spending less money than we make. And we don't want to hear your fucking whining. White fragility is the privilege card that ends conversation whenever the topic of racism is brought to the table. Really? We got the race card, we got the tranny card, we got the faggot card, we got the lesbian card, we got the handicap card. But you see, friends, white fragility, that's the privilege card that all the white people are playing. White fragility is the privilege card that ends conversations whenever the topic of racism is brought to the table. No, what ends that conversation is me walking away because I'm not interested in listening to you whine about race. If you have time to complain about race, you have too much fucking free time. All right, I'm going to try to get through this sentence. White fragility is the privilege card that ends conversations whenever the topic of racism is brought to the table because it makes us uncomfortable. See, once again, this is this whole thing where, well, if you don't think homosexuals should be able to wag their G-string covered cock in the face of a 10-year-old boy, you're homophobic and you're afraid of homosexuals. Right? If you don't want to talk about racism, it's because talking about racism makes you uncomfortable. No, it's not. It doesn't make me uncomfortable. I just don't want to do that because I have shit to do. You know, this leftist idea that anytime you don't behave the way they want you to behave, when you don't accept as truth what they want you to accept as truth, that means you're either afraid of it or it makes you uncomfortable. Yeah, no. Homosexuals and trannies and pedophiles, I'm not afraid of them and they don't make me uncomfortable. I just don't want them in my life. I'm going to die one day and I don't want to spend any time of my life around those people. It's like talking about race. Well, let's have a conversation about race. I'm going to die one day. I do not want to spend any portion of my life having a conversation about how race, because when you say let's have a conversation about race, we of course mean let's have a conversation about how all white people are racist and need to be exterminated. I don't want to talk about things with low IQ people. Okay, high IQ people do not have conversations about race. They just don't. High IQ people have shit to do. I'm not uncomfortable, I'm busy. I'm not uncomfortable, I have hobbies. I'm not uncomfortable, I have friends. White fragility doesn't want to see that racism still exists. Once again, when you say that, she means white people being racist against everyone else. Of course there's racism. There will always be racism. Human beings will form tribes and group identities and draw borders and lines based on racial identities. It happens all over the world. The only place it's bad is in countries inhabited by white people. White fragility wants to tell black people how to protest. No. Nobody's interested in telling black people how to protest. We're interested in telling black people to get jobs, telling black people to stop having babies without fathers. White women could maybe listen to that advice too. Whiteness would like to go over to Africa and tell black people to stop having sex with 10-year-old virgins because they think it's going to cure AIDS. Nobody wants to tell black people how to protest. I mean, I'm going to suggest that you don't protest in the middle of the road, because if you are in the middle of the road, you should get run over with a car, whether you're white, black, brown, yellow, purple, blue, orange, red. You know, I mean, what is it? White fragility wants to tell black people how to protest. What? When's the last time you saw a white person white-splaining to a black person about how to protest? Show me that video on YouTube. Who the fuck is telling black people how to protest? What is this person's name? White fragility doesn't want to admit all the ways in which we benefit from white supremacy, even though we say we don't support it. Once again, because how dare white people benefit from the structure and institutions of the government that rules over them? Right? Once again, it's only white people that are supposed to debase themselves to the other races. I mean, black people in Africa, they benefit, well, in theory, they benefit from the institutions in their countries and the businesses in their countries and the infrastructures of their countries and the social systems of their countries and the religions of their countries. And if you sit a bunch of white people over there, do you think the black people in Africa would give the white people preferential treatment and kiss their asses and debase themselves before them? No. And they shouldn't. We may claim to be morally against it because we want to be seen as good people. No, 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 sweetheart. This is the royal we. Okay, for the record, the Great One is not opposed to white supremacy. Not really sure what white supremacy means, but yes, white people, averaged out, are superior to non-white people. Are there a bunch of white people that should be exterminated? You're goddamn right there are. But we're talking averages. So no, the Great One is not morally against white supremacy, certainly not in white countries, just as I'm not against black supremacy in black countries, not against brown supremacy in brown countries, not against yellow supremacy in yellow countries. Not only are white people not supposed to have a culture, white people are not supposed to have a place where they can just fucking live and exist without having everyone else thrust upon them. Once again, go to any non-white country on the planet Earth and start talking about multiculturalism and, oh, why, look, I came into your church. It's nothing but black people here in your church in Kenya. You better get some white people and some brown people and some yellow people in here, or else you're all a bunch of racist. That's the stupidest sounding fucking thing you ever heard in your life. But my God, if you had a church that was all white people, well, they're white supremacist. They're Nazis. They don't have any diversity. And of course, a big part of this too is that the parasites need to come into places created by white people and take over, because the parasites can't create their own places. If they could, once again, look at Africa, entire giant fucking continent, filled with natural resources, filled with people. What's coming out of there that's worth a shit? Not a goddamn thing. Nothing. iPhones come from China. Hot blonde chicks come from Russia. Technology and used girls' panties come from Japan. Snails come from France. What comes out of Africa? What does Africa export? Other than raw goods, like ore, metal ore. What manufactured products are exported from Africa? Nothing. Entire goddamn continent of people. They don't produce a single fucking item that anyone else on the planet Earth wants to buy. Serious, if I'm wrong, tell me, what the fuck does what manufactured, finished product does a country in Africa export? Prove me wrong. Here is simple. Just name one, and I'll have to tell you I'm wrong. The only thing the African continent ever exported that anyone wanted was slaves. And yes, the black slaves were sold to white people by the black people who captured them. Okay? Once again, guys, white people didn't go over there, tromp into the continent of Africa, and capture these black people. They would have gotten their asses kicked. Okay? The Americans who went over there to Africa bought black people from other black people. Please stop with this fantasy of how we went over there and rounded them up and caught them or some shit. That is not what happened. And see, right now, I'm racist as fuck. Everything I'm saying, racist as fuck. There's probably a few people listening to this podcast right now just cucking all over themselves about how racist I am for pointing out facts. On average, white people have higher IQs than black people. It's a fact. On average. Are there a bunch of white people who need to be killed off because they're inferior? Yes. Fact. Is there anything of value manufactured in and exported from Africa? No, there isn't. Fact. Black people sold other black people that they captured in warfare to the white slavers from the United States. Fact. We may claim to be morally against it because we want to be seen as good people. No, you want to be seen as good people. I have no interest in being seen as good. I am only interested in being seen as right. I'm not good. I'm not nice. I'm just right. I am not good. I am not nice. I am right. But that doesn't mean we are actually willing to go out of our way to stop the injustices experienced by others. First of all, Allison Lee Scher, in-demand author and consultant, you can go out of your way to stop injustices anytime you want. I notice the injustices are still happening, so you're not doing very much, but then of course that's because you're an ineffectual parasite. Furthermore, I'm going to go ahead and submit that I've done more to go out of my way to stop injustices than you have because, I mean, among other things, I pay taxes. And those taxes go towards paying for police departments and hospitals and EMTs and vaccines and welfare and WIC and all this other horse shit that keeps all of these people whom, left to their own devices, would be dead alive. It's because of taxpayers, who are primarily white men, that there are all these free benefits, not just for black people, but for parasites of all colors, including a whole bunch of white people who shouldn't be around, and all those fucking single mothers raising the future school shooters. Hey, a purple-haired actor and a tranny walk into a school. Bang, 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 bang! God, I'm a fucking comedian. It's awesome. White fragility doesn't want to see that our own complicity co-creates a culture of oppression. See, once again, okay, white people are co-creating a culture of oppression. I thought white people didn't have any culture. I mean, we created rape culture, we got a culture of oppression, but we don't have any culture. You know, for a bunch of people who don't have any culture, we sure do create a lot of cultures. It's easiest to talk about whiteness in the negative, in terms of what we don't have to experience. Oh yeah, you mean like getting shit for free, affirmative action benefits, you being able to play the race card anytime someone disagrees with us, having words that people aren't allowed to say because they hurt our little feelings because we have low IQs and we're over-emotional. Yeah, there's a lot of things that we poor white people don't get to experience. Most of us don't know what it's like to be stopped and frisked. Well, no, because if you're not a fucking criminal and if you're not doing anything stupid and if you're smart enough that when you see a police officer, you very calmly turn and go the other fucking way. If you stay at a place, yeah, I've never been stopped and frisked because I don't live in shithole inner cities. And for the record, I'm not saying the shithole inner cities are shitholes exclusively because black people live there. Because, of course, that's where everyone went. Oh, my God, he said inner cities are shitholes because black people live there. No, it's not entirely the black people's fault. They contribute to it, sure. You go to a place in the inner city, whatever the fuck that even really means, right? You go somewhere where it's populated by almost entirely black people in the middle of some shithole like Chicago or something. Are the black people who live there partially to blame for it being a shithole? Absolutely. But hey, did the politicians running the city contribute to it? Sure. Did decisions of people 50 and 100 years ago contribute to that? Sure. There's a whole lot of factors that came together there. So if it's a shithole, get the fuck out. That's how you stop being frisked when you're walking around the streets of Chicago in some fucking shithole part of Chicago at 2:00 in the morning. Get the fuck out of Chicago. What? Now I got a comment on the website. Hold on, what? New comment on the post. Comment. Should you have sex before getting married? This is from James. This is on Yes, All Women Are Like That, episode 16. First World White Girl Problems. Waiting for my approval. I will approve this comment, James, in just a minute. Should you have sex before getting married? Yes. Should have sex before you get married with the woman you're going to marry? And with other women, you should absolutely have sex before you get it. This is the easiest question I've ever fielded. Yes, James, absolutely. You should, I should, all men should have sex before getting married, because once you get married, you're not going to have sex ever again. We don't know what it's like to be refused service or to see, right, because no white person has ever been refused service. And once again, where are these black people being refused service? Are they being refused service because they're black, or are they being refused service because they don't have any money, or because they're rude, or because they're playing the race card, or because they're walking in and acting like, I'm black, you better fucking give me shit or else I'm going to play the race card on you? Who? Seriously, once again, who is refusing to take money from black people? Where is this happening? Or to see people express shock when they realize we're well-read and well-spoken. See, once again, white people are all racist. We all just assume all black people are stupid. No. We don't assume all black people are stupid. We assume most black people are stupid. Just like, when I say we, I mean I. Okay, let me speak for myself. I assume most black people are stupid. I assume most white people are stupid. I assume most yellow people are stupid. You could do this ad nauseum. You know where this is going. I assume most people are stupid. You know why? Because most people are stupid. Everyone who's reading this book and believing this shit is stupid. White fragility doesn't want to have conversations about all this because white people have shit to do. No, I'm sorry. Because we don't feel like we are bad people because of what we don't go through. I'm not even sure I know what that means. We don't want to feel like bad people because of what we don't go through. See, it's feel. She's taking herself and projecting it onto everyone else. She doesn't want to feel bad because she grew up spoiled and pampered. That's why she's spewing all of this white, fragility shit. Because she doesn't want to feel bad. I'm not going to feel bad because I didn't grow up in the ghetto. I'm not going to feel bad because I wasn't raised by a single mother with 7 kids on welfare. I'm simply not going to feel bad. It doesn't have anything to do with what I want. I'm simply not going to do it. But as news commentator Van Jones once said, I don't know who Van Jones is either, quote, if you want unity, you have to hear the pain first, unquote. I believe this statement is very true. Well, that's fascinating, and I appreciate that. I will agree with this statement. If you want unity, you have to hear the pain first. If you don't want unity, who gives a shit? I don't want unity, right? Unity, that sounds like something that's right up there with equality. I'm not interested in that. There is no unity. I don't want unity. I want people to be able to have tribes. I want people to be able to choose who they associate with and to associate with the people they choose to associate with and not be forced to associate with other people that they don't want to associate with. I have no interest whatsoever in unity, whatever in the fuck that means. And I know what it means. It's some Orwellian phrase. Tyquan Morton, 23, works as an English teacher for Teach America in Jacksonville, Florida. Okay, first problem, English. Second problem, teacher. Third problem, Teach for America. Fourth problem, Jacksonville, Florida. Tyquan has a unique perspective. Yes, Tyquan has a perspective that no one else in the history of the planet Earth has ever had before. That's why Tyquan is an English teacher. He teaches English. to people who speak English. Taekwon has a unique perspective on the culture of whiteness that I was not aware of before I interviewed him. He says black people have the burden of having to act white in order to prosper in a white man's society. Ah, yes. See, here we go with this one again. If you want to integrate and be successful in a particular culture, well, let me rephrase that because I got ahead of myself. If you want to be successful in a particular culture, you have to integrate into that culture. If I go to China and I want to be successful in China, I have to speak Chinese, have to eat Chinese food. I have to at least learn to understand and perhaps appreciate through understanding Chinese art and art forms. I have to learn Chinese customs, right? So business negotiations, how do Chinese negotiate in business environments? How do you ask a Chinese girl on a date? Okay, if you want to be successful in another culture, you have to integrate into that culture. And this whole thing where black people think, well, they should be able to be successful in the United States while completely rejecting our culture. Well, this is the reason I say they have lower intelligence, because they're believing something which is untrue. To believe something which is untrue is a sign of lower intelligence. It's not that hard to understand.